This week on Chicago Beer Pass, Nick and I hit up a ton of events over the weekend, and we talk about a couple events that are happening this weekend here in Chicago while everyone is away at the Great American Beer Festival.
Yeah, because, you know, got a cork popped out, boom, it flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
The legend, Mr. Pete Crowley. I love Pete Crowley, man.
How's that beer? It's what you think it is.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw!
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Hey, Brad, I'm Nick White.
And in the studio again, but we're drinking Half Acre beer, so it's like we're remembering our times 2 weeks ago at Half Acre.
Yeah, we're kind of reminiscing on seeing that huge space, man. And then I guess I didn't realize that they do cans and 12-ounce bottles. And that's what this is. This is one of their...
Or their bombers.
One of their bombers. 12-ounce bottles. Bombers. It's 22 ounces.
22 ounce, yeah. If you're new to Chicago Beer Pass, what we do on the show is we talk about the events we made it to, the places we were drinking the last week, and then we let you know about some events you should be checking out this weekend that popped up on our calendar.
Yeah.
As always, we're drinking local beer. I said at the top, we're drinking Half Acre this week.
Yeah, so what is this, the Shrub Tundra? It's a coffee brown ale.
Yeah.
And this is 6.3%.
Yeah, once again, we usually drink, bottles and cans and things like that, because that seems to be the trend lately of the packaged goods. Less bombers, more cans.
Yeah,
So sometimes it's nice just to, open up a bomber and, crack it open. A couple beers you get out of it.
Yeah, that's true. It's like it's starting to go away as a packaging format.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, this has got all those traditional, brown ale notes, right? Coffee caramel. Okay. I was going to tie in those two. Yeah.
It's perfect for the season. It's getting a little colder out there. So, nice.
Yeah.
Porters and stouts coming back into fashion. Mm. Well, should we dive into this week? I didn't think I was going to make it to anything.
Everything kind of popped up last minute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just happened. One thing I made it to, I'll dive into, is Logan Square Beer Festival.
Okay.
At the Logan Square Auditorium.
Yeah. Which is like a second floor, party space, right?
Yeah. Have you ever been to the Logan Auditorium?
I was there for a fight once. Schlitz had a fight.
Someone was fighting.
Like a boxing match.
I'll meet you at Logan Square Auditorium.
It's going down. Meet me at the auditorium.
Oh, that fight night. I remember talking
about
that.
It was a Schlitz event, and it was like a Roaring Twenties theme, and, there was three or four, Chicago boxers. That's the only time I've been there.
Oh, cool.
It's a great space.
Yeah, it's pretty nice.
Yeah.
This was the fourth year for the Logan Square Beer Festival, which I don't know.
Really?
I saw someone mention it. We didn't even talk about it on last week's episode. It
went under the radar. I think it's been going under the radar. I didn't realize it was 4 years old.
Yeah, but it's two sessions. One was 1 to 4, and the other one was 5 to 8. Mm-hmm. I stopped in from the 5 to 8 for a little bit. I had a few beers. I was just running solo, so I didn't really have anyone to chat with or hang out with, which you kind of miss when you're at a beer fest, because what do you do when you're standing there in between beer? You can maybe chat to someone else, but there's a lot of couples there.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Just a lot of
that's
friends.
Cool though. Some of these youngsters are getting out there doing a little dating at beer fest.
Uh-huh.
That's a beer fest for the for the dating scene there.
I guess so.
You know, last time I think I'm just checking out this super cool bottle opener that you got. It's shaped like a big key. All right, wait a second. I was gonna say something. Oh yeah. The Beer FX guys, we had them on the show, they were doing, they did their documentary for Turn Brown for what? That was that barrel-aged brown ale that they did.
Uh-huh.
And they showed a movie, and that was at the Logan Auditorium.
Oh, okay. That was the first one that must have. First or second one, right?
Yeah.
Cool. It was pretty nice space. It was kind of crowded. They did not utilize the upstairs area. I don't know if the Schlitz...
Oh, fight yeah. Thing what, did. I'm, what I'm thinking of is like you walk upstairs and there's this full auditorium, the full length of the building.
No, they did that, but then there's like a second little balcony area. And I overheard someone say in the third year, there was breweries up there. There was like a couple stops up there. So I think it kept people moving around more.
Yeah.
So all this time, all the beer was around the main floor, around the edges. So it was really hard to move around in there.
Yeah.
Because people, like, there's nowhere to go, so you just stop. You get a beer, and then you take, like, two steps back, and you're kind of like, okay, I'll wait for the next thing. And so you can't move.
So it wasn't necessarily oversold, but had they used the space more effectively, it would have been more comfortable.
Right. So I think that would have been nice. All the usual suspects were there, like Pipeworks, Hopewell, Rev was there, Half Acre.
I was at Lake Effect, and we were kind of rushing through on the brew bus. Yeah, it was our stop, and he was saying, "I got to get out of here. He's got to get back to the to that fest."
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so we kind of whipped through our little stop there so he could get over to that party.
One weird thing was Jim Seebeck was pouring beer at this festival. This festival that not a ton of people know about, but he's there, the owner.
No, he's like, he's like part owner. He's like, and he's like the brewmaster there.
Right.
Yeah, of a huge facility, right?
Like, did somebody bail and you were just like, all right, I'll just show up.
Yeah,
like, whatever.
Or maybe they're in Logan, you know, Revolution's based in Logan Square. They got two locations there. Maybe this is like, hey, this is our backyard. Let's go out here and, you know, kiss hands and shake babies or whatever, however the phrase goes, right?
What does he care at this point, right?
Yeah, they are like, they are one of the biggest games in town. Yeah.
Right.
I don't know. But that's cool.
Yeah.
You know?
So said hi to him. Just, and yeah, nothing like super special. I did have a coffee saison from Off Color. That was probably my like favorite beer.
Yeah. Yeah. That's cool. I like that place.
Yeah. So that was my Saturday. You were on the brew bus.
I was on the brew bus Saturday. Did a couple other things before that on Saturday. I ended up at Soldier Field for their Beer and Bacon Classic.
Okay.
And, you know, speaking of, like, you know, breweries and brewery reps, right, this thing was kind of like maybe two or three people that affiliated with breweries were there. Everyone else was, like, straight-up volunteers.
Okay.
You know, so that was cool. You know, the Beer and Bacon Classic at Soldier Field, it's a weird place to get to. You got to pay to park, like, $25 to park. Mm-hmm. And then it's raining, so you can't get on Soldier Field. I was ready to do, like, my touchdown dance. You know, I was going to buy a football. I had it all mapped out. You know, could a gift shop get a football and, you know, just get on the field.
Yeah.
But even if it wasn't raining, you couldn't get on the field. That kind of sucked.
Okay.
You know, you got to see them, like, paint the
because they had
the
a game
letters.
The next day. They had a home game.
They had a home game the next day. Yeah. And they won. So they're you're 1-3 Chicago Bears now. Okay. They're
it was
no
probably because there was bacon in the air. There was
bacon in the air, man. And they went out there and got that W, man. So this was the Beer and Bacon Classic. All the food was brought by Le Cordon Bleu, which is like that school, like the culinary school. But they had the coolest little red ceramic cups as like a tasting glass, you know. So it's ceramic, so it keeps it cold. And then it's like a red solo cup shaped, but it's like a miniature version.
Oh, that's cool.
And it's
cool.
Got the branding on it of the fest. That was pretty cool. Yeah. I finally got to try this Oktoberfest that everybody's talking about from Old Style, you know.
Oh, yeah. I had that. I was at an event, I don't know, like a couple weeks ago, and I was like going around to people. I'm like, did you know they make a Oktoberfest? And then someone's like, you told me that like 20 minutes ago.
I was like, at first when I saw the booth, I'm like, how dare you, Old Style, make an October? Who had the nerve of you, right? Mm-hmm. Then when I tried it, I'm like, man, they kind of nailed it, man. This is a good beer.
It's pretty good. There are better
Oktoberfest. There are better Oktoberfest, yeah. It was, I guess, because we were expecting the worst and it came and it was solid. I was excited about that. I'm like, look at these guys. They didn't fuck it up. You know what I mean? Like that.
Right. It's still I don't think I need a tall boy can of Oktoberfest.
No. And because they come in
or that Oktoberfest.
Yeah. And then they they're also making beer for a place called the Tankard. So I guess, and that's in like a new bar in Wicker Park. So they had that beer on. I didn't try that.
Okay.
But yeah. So.
Yeah, I've had that. That was okay. I was kind of surprised by that beer too.
Yeah. The VIP area was pretty cool. I saw, you know, beers like Jolly Pumpkin, Half Acre, and Wiseacre have a collaboration beer on back there. It was like a psychedelic pilgrims. It was like a rye. Oh, no, it was like an oatmeal IPA.
Oh, cool.
It was
cool.
An oatmeal IPA. Yeah. It was a cool party. I was disappointed I couldn't go on the field. Adam from Whirly Ball was there because he was serving a bacon dish. There were tons of bacon dishes from like local like restaurants and bars, that kind of thing. And that was fun. I mean, you kind of get bacon out of it. There'd be people that are walking around with just like a tray of bacon, right? And just handing you like a big bacon theme.
Was there enough beer to the bacon? Because it's the bacon and beer classic, right?
Yeah, so they use the entire concourse and, you know, good spacing. And like there was like, you know, food and then like almost like food central and then like beer scattered all around the rest of it. You know, it's like all the food was pretty much in one space.
Nice.
Yeah.
Any standouts or any bacon standouts or beer standouts?
I'll tell you, a bacon standout, man, was I really dug the Whirly Balls. It was a Moroccan spiced bacon with chai vinaigrette and coconut ice cream. So it was almost like a
bacon dessert.
It was almost like a bacon dessert.
All right, I'll be at Whirly Ball next Wednesday. Maybe I'll have to try this.
So that was interesting. I really liked Pipeworks had a beer called Hey Man, Careful, There's a Beverage There, which is their ode to the Big Lebowski. That was on. Oh, and cool. I really liked this this Psychedelic Pilgrim from those guys at Half Acre, Wiseacre. So that was cool. And it was it's fun to be in Soldier Field, you know. Football stadium.
And then you said a couple things before the Brew Bus, or that was it?
No, I went to a couple things. Oh. I went to the Das Op Oktoberfest at...
the same day?
The same day. Cruz Blanca.
Two beer events and then the Brew Bus?
And then I did the tour, yeah.
Oh my gosh. Well, I thought I was doing well.
I was pretty useless by the end of this day. You know? they mentioned over at Cruz Blanca, this is Rick Bayless's restaurant brewery down the street from Haymarket. They said that this might have been the most people they've had there all year, since they've opened. It was packed in there. Your standard, you know, Oktoberfest. It was actually a lot of fun, man. And that space, if you haven't been to it, you should get over there and check it out. It looks really great. They said the beer that they're selling the most of is their Beer de Garde and the...
Which one?
Right. They're down to one. They're down to one.
Oh, did they realize that it's super confusing to have multiple Beer de Gardes?
They're down to one. I believe it's called the Rubia. And then they have an IPL, like a hoppy lager, and that was like number two.
Okay.
Yeah. So that was cool. Also went to...
How was their Oktoberfest?
The Oktoberfest was good. I actually liked
compared to Pabst.
Oh, compared to PBR? I think it was a little more... I think it was a little more bold in flavor profile.
Okay.
to say the least, man. It was definitely a little bit more enjoyable than the Pabst one. Oh, but I really like the... I hate Oktoberfest parties because they're all the same, but I love that glass. That glass is killer. So you get the Stein with the dipples in it. Mm-hmm. You know, you get it full. It's like 2.5 beers.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you get to keep it and you get to refill it.
Do they have boots going or anything?
No boots. But they would pour like maybe half their list. You could get, you know, a half pour of just about anything they had.
Wow.
In the Stein, which was cool.
Yeah. Awesome.
So I had a good time over there.
Man, that's a pretty big day. Anything else then that day?
It for that day.
What else then?
I went to the Matilda dinner at Lawman and Eagle.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, which apparently is a hotel as well. Did you know they had like 10 hotel rooms at Lawman
and Eagle?
Yeah,
they have a few. They're not that expensive. No, they maybe have gone up now, but...
It's like a little boutique hotel. So they're doing... Goose Island does these migration weeks, right? They've conquered all 50 states, so now they're doing them at home. So there's one in, they're planning one for Pilsen. They did one in Lincoln Park, right? Mm-hmm. And now they're doing this one, Migration Week, Logan Square, right? Got to, you know, it's all about Logan Square. It's all about the backyard.
Lazy. It's lazy.
So they had a Matilda dinner, right, with Lawman and Eagle, right? Dude, the killer price point for this thing was $25, but then they really showed out. It was like four or five like big dishes.
Okay.
Oh, but 2010 through 2014, Matilda.
Okay.
And, you know, I forget how sexy of a beer Matilda is, you know, like, and like think back 2007, right, before like Rev and Haymarket and all these guys came online, you know, Goose is like winning with this. This is when they first got the cash injection from AB. It was 2007. Okay. It was like 10%, 15%. So it was like Sophie and
it's been that long,
and
wow.
Matilda, yeah. Sophie and Matilda were the beers that that got Goose pushed on you. And they were interesting beers, man. They came in the chalice. You know, they were like Sophie's aged in like, you know, wine barrels.
Yeah, we drank a lot of Matilda around Chicago because there was a lot of bars that sometimes would have Matilda specials. And you're like, I can have a Matilda for $5?
Yeah,
like, yeah. So
this is a beer you totally forget about. A beer that I totally, you know, don't really gravitate towards anymore.
Mm-hmm. I don't drink it very often because it is like, what, 8-9%?
Yeah, it's a big beer.
So you, it doesn't taste like that. It doesn't even drink like that. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh crap, I had too much of this.
Yeah, and you know, I didn't, I knew it was an ode to Orval. I remember Tom Corder saying that.
Yeah.
And he told a story about, you know, Matilda being the countess and the fish and all this kind of stuff. And oh, but I didn't know that it actually uses Orval yeast. It uses the same yeast that Orval uses. Okay, I didn't know that. That's in the primary. And then in the secondary, they use Brett. And that's why it changes so much. I use Brettanomyces, so it becomes a little more tart, a little more fruit forward as you keep them.
Okay.
Which was cool. So that was actually a really good time. That night ended with, it got weird. Like, you know, Tim Faith brought like a 2008 Matilda from his house.
Okay.
They had like, you know, this last year's rare 2014 prop, which was like, you know, that Mexican hot chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was a really good party.
Very cool.
Oh, and he mentioned that this year at the block party, that Sticky Feathers is a Saison.
Oh, it is.
So I was like, you know, Brad was just saying how he had Sticky Feathers at the 312 block party and he was expecting this wet hop IPA.
Yeah.
He's like, no, it was a wet hop Saison this year.
Ah.
I was like, that makes sense.
I was confused. Okay, yeah. That makes more sense. I was just like, did I get the wrong beer? I didn't even question it. I was just like, it tastes good. But I thought the name makes you think.
Yeah.
Like sticky, hoppy beer.
Exactly. Yeah. And then it's like, and they're using wet hops. Oh, you know, we talked about just overall at Goose, that was kind of interesting to me, was about the whole rare and how they're pasteurizing it, right?
Uh-huh.
And how they, not rare, but all of the bourbon counties, they're going to pasteurize them. And how, you know, they basically, beers won't really change that much when you pasteurize them. You know,
so there's almost no reason to cellar age or sit on any of these coming bourbon counties.
Exactly. It'll change just a little bit, right? And how that would suck for this beer because they would all, you know, 10 would taste just like 14 or whatever. Oh, but he was saying that the reason why, this was Tim, he's like, the reason why, you know, they think that some of these barrels got infected, like quite a few of them, was because these guys at the distillery are, you know, trying to get the devil's cut out. And basically what that means to Goose is like usually Goose gets a barrel that's, you know, 6 to 8 year whiskey was in it.
Uh-huh.
They get the barrel wet. They don't, and the distillery does nothing to it. But if they went through like that devil's cut process, they'll dump the barrel, then like fill the barrel halfway with water to get the devil's cut out and then have it sit for like 3 months. So the odds of it getting infected are increasing now.
Oh, because it was open to air. Water.
Exactly.
Who knows what was in that water?
Yeah.
It's not like purified water.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And they were saying like, hey, you know, we're going to have to be strict with our process of give us 6-year to 8-year old whiskey barrels, period. None of this devil's cut shit. Cause we're trying to eliminate those possibilities.
Oh, interesting.
Know? And that was interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
very cool.
My favorite one was 2013, man. It was like soft peaches. It was great.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah, it was really good. So,
On Sunday, I did another bike ride to Evanston.
Mm-hmm.
I hit up all three this time. I did Smiley Brothers, Sketchbook, and Temperance. Although there is Packaged Pig up there now, right?
Okay.
Is it in Evanston? Or
yeah, I feel like it's in Evanston.
So didn't do that because I know the name Packaged Pig, but I don't know much about them.
Yeah.
And Sean over at Sketchbook was mentioning like, oh, you should check out Packaged Pig. And I was like, if we have time, we were still on our way to Temperance. And so, yeah.
How would you rank these breweries that you hit of the three that you hit?
Sketchbook, top.
Okay, right on.
Then Temperance, and then Smiley Brothers.
Okay.
That was my first time at Smiley Brothers. It's really nice inside. It looks great.
Yeah.
But it feels kind of like your generic brew pubby kind of vibe. It feels like a suburban place.
Okay. I think they smoke their own meat, right?
I don't know what they're trying to be there because they have barbecue sauce on the table.
Yeah.
So that makes me think like this is a barbecue joint. Like, oh yeah, you're smoking your own meat. I should get barbecue. But then they also have a pizza oven that they do all kinds of pizzas.
Mm.
And then also on the menu, they have like Italian sandwiches. I ended up getting like a burger. It was like a double, you know, flat patty burger.
Yeah.
They have salads and like, I don't know, like the catch-all kind of suburban idea of the menu. Like, it wasn't like, even a big menu. It was just like a lot of variety.
Like chilies or something.
Yeah, not chilies, but not even
no, like. I'm not putting words in your mouth. I'm just asking.
I would say more like a rock bottom. Where
okay, you, like rock bottom.
You kind of have better. A little bit of everything.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I got calamari on the appetite. I don't know if they did, but I didn't see that.
I love calamari.
Like, now I got to go to a barbecue place for calamari.
Yeah. It's a weird mashup. All like, you're not really clear what their intentions are. Like, they're just kind of all over the place.
Yeah. So the food was good. So,
yeah.
Yeah. But if you're going for beer, I'd go to Sketchbook.
Yeah. So would you recommend, like, when you get to Evanston, just hit them all if you can? Like, just make a day of it? How was that whole overall experience for you?
It's fine. We were usually drinking, like, one or two beers at the places or doing, like, a couple samples, like, two to three samples. Temperance, they're going to have the same beer. If you've had Temperance, if you've gone to Temperance before, it will very likely be the same beers that you've always had. So that's the only downside about going to Temperance is you're not going to see a lot of variety. There's people there all the time. I think they just have their core group of people that like what they drink.
Yeah.
And they want to hang out. It's very kid friendly. You can order pizza and play games and have a beer. And so that's cool. But Sketchbook is, you know, they have over a dozen beers that are all different and unique. And Sean was mentioning that had all these beers coming up, all these events. They got their Oktoberfest event coming up, so a lot of things they got happening.
Yeah, so they're no longer in the old, what was it, a taxi cab alley or something you were saying? Like, that's done.
That's done.
They got a storefront.
I think the brewery is still in that alley. Okay. So,
but this tasting room is something different.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool, man.
But you still haven't been there, right?
I haven't been. I need to get up there. I'm thinking, like, man, I need to figure out my route when I go up there.
Yeah, he was saying, like, why isn't Nick here?
Like, where the hell is this guy? It's Sunday. I'm here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right on, man. Good for them, man. I know those guys. They have roots in home brewing. They're affiliated with, like, you know, like Square Kegs. You know, Ted Perez and Sean, crazy ass Sean.
Yeah.
Yeah. So cheers to those guys.
I didn't get my growler, but I was on my bike, so I couldn't even carry it, even if I would have got it. My name was on the board on the wall. I didn't even know that.
There you go. Yeah, because you were an early adapter, a supporter of their cause.
Yeah, see, I knew it was gonna work out.
just how I pictured it in my head when you walked in.
So that was both of our past week here in Chicago. Some good brewery stops. Like, what was that? So three in Evanston. You hit up Cruz Blanca and.
And then two events.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah, we got Got a good lather worked up. Had a little steak tartare at Lamb and Eagle. I don't know if you've had that before. It's a very primal.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah. It's like if you can, it's like sushi, which I can eat sushi, but the
raw meat idea.
Once you get past that, it's good.
Okay.
I felt like, you know, we were all just doing something we shouldn't have been doing. You know, but it was good. Yeah.
So then coming up this week, everyone is at GABF except for us.
I think
here.
So. Yeah.
You're not going out this time?
No, man. I'm going to lay low, man, you know, and just do local stuff, man.
What? So. Why not this time?
Like,
you've been there, done that?
I went 2 years in a row, and I really had a good time last year with the things around GABF. I think that's cooler than the actual fest. But, I think I was just looking for some downtime. You know, I think, like, hanging out with brewers or at brewer events over a 48-hour period or more is really intense, you know.
Okay.
And, you know, I love it, but I just need to get off the Ferris wheel, you know what I mean? I was like, yeah, I'm going to chill. That party, you got to be up for that.
Sure.
You know, so.
But there are a few things happening here around town that are worth checking out, right?
Yeah, for sure. So we talked about Wiseacre. So for those who don't know, Wiseacre's in Memphis, Tennessee, right? The head brewer, Davin, he used to brew at Rock Bottom Chicago. And, you know, so did Pete Crowley brewed at Rock Bottom Chicago. Right. And then he brewed at a couple Rock Bottoms. But he's from Memphis, so he went down there. And now he's coming back with Lakeshore Beverage. And they're doing a pub crawl through West Loop. So you pay $20 up front, and you go to, like, four different spots. I think it's Gus's Fried Chicken, The Publican, you know, Green City Smoked Meats, and Haymarket, right?
Okay.
And then, you get entered into a raffle where you can win either Chicago Bears or Blackhawks tickets.
Cool.
Yeah, so it's a good way to see the neighborhood, good way to try this beer from a guy who made some good beer and then spent quite a bit of time in Chicago.
Yeah, and Davin's a pretty awesome guy.
Yeah, he's cool as hell.
Yeah. What day is that?
That is on the 8th. So what's that? Like,
that's a Saturday.
Yeah.
Nice. Cool. Anything else on Saturday?
No.
On Sunday is the second annual poker ride from Spiteful Brewing.
Okay.
I think you mentioned this last year, probably around this time.
Yeah.
The idea is you ride your bike to these different bars and restaurants, and you pick up a card at each one, and then you come back to, what's the location? Green Lady.
Oh,
and
right on.
Whoever has the best poker hand, like the best three poker hands, win. So okay. Some of the stops are like Green Lady, Half Acre, Beguile, Long Room, Dovetail, Empirical, a couple others.
And everybody's riding their bike, huh?
Yeah. So that starts at noon and goes to 6 p.m. I don't know how, if you have to be there at 6 to like show your poker hand. I don't know like the rules of like the winner. Oh, yeah. Raffle will be held at 6 p.m. So you got to like show up with your hand
at that Man, time. Man, steak tartare is a foreign concept for me. I can't wrap my head around going on bike with a lot of breweries.
Well, it's easy.
Because you used to have an event called Bike to Breweries. It's easy for you.
Yeah. And I did 3 this weekend.
But yeah, that sounds interesting. I'd be down to try it. Mm-hmm. Just I'm curious to see what that's all about.
So check that out and win some prizes.
Yeah. Next week on the 12th, October 12th, Evil Twin and the guys at 12% Imports are coming to town for an event.
What's 12%?
12% is an importer that has a portfolio that includes, there's two methods of like distributing beer nowadays, right? Like, block by block, that's what Bader Brown and Rev are doing. And then there's guys who just want to be like in cool bars all across the country.
Okay.
And that's it. And that's what 12% wants to do. So this is your Mars, your off color, Evil Twin, they don't focus on the area at all. They focus more like on cool accounts, I think,
That seems a fun way to do it if you're an importer, because you're like, oh, I got to go to Chicago. Man. I got to go to San Francisco. Talk to this guy. I got to fly here.
Exactly, right? It's an interesting approach, man. So at this night, it's going to be Against the Grain, Off Color, Stillwater, and Evil Twin. Evil Twin will have 4 beers on, including something called the Bozo Beer, which is a 17% Imperial Stout with a whole ton of... like spices and almonds, vanilla, marshmallow.
Yeah. Okay.
So
very cool.
Yeah.
Anything else this week then? Was that it?
No, that's all I got, man.
It's a little quiet with everyone at the Great American Beer Fest. Yeah. I think the events just died down. Oktoberfest events have been in full swing, so there's probably still a few of those lingering around.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of German restaurants are taking part in those still.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, before we get out of here, any beer news to talk about? I know we already touched on the pasteurization thing of the Goose Island beers.
We talked about Goose. A little bit more news on Goose. Last week, they had the block party.
Right.
They raised $75,000 for like 3 or 4 local nonprofits. Mm-hmm. So good for them.
Nice.
Look at the numbers on the amount of beer they sold. They had 11,000 people over 2 days.
Okay.
11,500 people. They moved 179 kegs, 166 tools. 32 of those kegs was the Oh My God Pale Ale, the OMG.
Okay.
Oh, no, the Old Man Grumpy OMG. The
Grumpy.
Yeah.
Okay. I saw the logo of that, and I didn't know what it was, and I didn't get it.
Yeah, it's like a draft-only, Chicago-only Pale Ale. Sounds like the 312's, 312 or Green Line replacement.
Until they, keg it, but until they can it and ship it off to New York.
So. Yeah. And, 400 cases and, 180 kegs.
Damn.
Over, 2 days. Yeah, so kudos to those guys. Three Floyds and The Hideout both turned 20.
Whoa.
Yeah, and they're getting together for a joint Halloween party.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, this is, the end of October. Tickets went on sale last week.
Okay.
Yeah, those are probably, if they're not, they're probably going to go quick.
Do you have your Halloween costume already picked out?
I'm thinking about being the guy from the churrascaria, the guy from the Brazilian steakhouse where he's just walking around with, the sword full of meat. He's got his boots tucked in his, his pants tucked in.
You're
going to
have a thing of meat?
I think I need to find, a sword with some meat on it,
You probably get some, big rubber dog treats and just
and just get them on there. Something. I'm thinking about doing that. No, the answer is no.
Okay,
all right. Oh man, what else? Oh, Dragon's Milk.
Yeah,
they announced 2 variants that have coming out to market this week. One's vanilla chai, the other one is a coconut rum barrel. And those would be in 12-ounce four-pack bottles.
Okay. That's a beer I have not had in a long time. Yeah. There was a period, I think, where I drank a lot of Dragon's Milk and loved it.
One of the greatest names for a beer of all time. Mm-hmm. Fantastic name.
Such a good beer.
Yeah. More available than, you know, most of these other seasonal stouts. Uh-huh. And I think that's their top-selling beer year-round.
Nice.
Is Dragon's Milk. So that's up. New Holland is the brewery.
Cool. I think that does it for this week's episode.
What? Is that right?
No, it started. That's not the right time.
It's been an hour long.
The normal length.
Okay. All
right. We started talking about beer and time flies. But Nick, where can people get in touch with you when we're not here recording?
Right on, man. I'm on Twitter at Nicosio.
And I'm on Twitter at BRAD. Chicago Beer Pass is on Twitter at Chicago Beer Pass. Website chicagobeerpass.com. All the episodes get posted there. Facebook page / Chicago Beer Pass. Usually posting photos of us at some of these events, beer menus, anything we kind of are doing the week, so check that out. And we share other events that we don't mention here that we just come across. It might just be like, this beer's on tap here.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah, we'll be back with another episode next week. No GABF, you know, for us. We're staying here.
We'll chat about any local winners that come up, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, cheers. Thanks for listening.
Cheers.